Welcome to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis, and we're coming to you live. I'm in Dallas, Texas. And then we've got Mel Kay with us. You can see her on the screen. We're super excited. Her and I were together in Miami for the Reawaken Tour with Clay Clark and his group and some of the Trump family. All of them were out there. It was a huge blast. And actually, Mel, I don't know if it was for you, it was one of my favorite venues ever that we've done at the Reawaken Tours. It was super nice. What'd you think?
Oh, it was great. And it was really fun to like see everyone again. We've been doing these once a month. And then we changed to once every 3 months. And it's like a family reunion. So on top of it being an incredible venue, that Trump Doral is so nice. But at the same time, it was just great to see everyone again. We've been on the road, me and you, crossing paths for about over 2 years now. So every time we get together, it's a little bit more like family. So it's awesome.
So tell the audience real quick before we go to commercial break for this 1 minute little intro. Tell them what they should go back and watch. Were you able to see any speakers? I would tell you all to go watch Mel Kay's presentation and my presentation. I watched it live, standing there in the room, being blown away while everybody else was like, what? Looking at the organization of the massive organizations that are controlling our entire world, that black graph. You need to talk about that and educate our audiences. It's phenomenal. All right, we're going to be right back here. But what did you see any speeches and who would you recommend to go watch?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I always love yours. And there's a couple other people. I thought Eric Trump was really good. I never seen him so really passionate and throwing down stuff. I always like Cash Patel. And I thought Peter Navarro, there were some interesting people. Like, I'm still a big fan of the comedy. So Alex Stein and Joe Rogan. I mean, Jim Brewer showing up. There might be Joe Rogan in the future. Who knows? We keep adding comics. But Jim Brewer. So I like that. I like that they're adding music and comedy. And it's really great. So, you know, all the usuals. Tom Renz always kicks it off pretty big. So I would love to everyone.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, we'll be right back after this commercial break. And we're going to visit more with Mel Kay. She's going to educate you, warn you, and inspire you on what is being lied to you and withheld from you so you can know who to watch for, who to trust, who not to trust. All right. We'll be right back.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Hochzi. Men, when things hit the fan, don't be crying in the closet with your wife and daughters. They're counting on you to lead them and to be a man who's physically fit, mentally sharp, and spiritually strong. At the Hochzi Health and Wellness Center, this is what we help you become. God has given your body amazing restorative powers to heal itself. We're in the business of transforming lives naturally. We've developed an 8-point treatment regimen, which includes healthy eating, vitamins and minerals, and hormone replacement, including testosterone. Become the man God wants you to be. Our program for men will help you put a tiger back in your tank so you can protect your family during these trying times. Contact us at the Hochzi Health and Wellness Center for a complimentary wellness consultation. Get your energy back so we can take our country back.
Welcome back to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis, back with Mel Kay. The sponsors for this segment are the North Texas Healing Center. If you have any symptoms that you are concerned with and would like to live without, and you want a pathway to healing, contact NorthTexasHealingCenter.com. Call them at 214-705-9369. And then also we have MyPillow. BrightyOnStore.com, and we also have BrightyOnStore.com, and they both have the exact same promo code to support the Dr. Artist Show, which is Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R. How I ended up with that, it's amazing. I don't know. And then if you're on MyPillow.com and you want any of that stuff there, which I use every day, I love their towels personally, are my favorite products. You actually can use the abbreviation DR at checkout. If you can't spell the whole word doctor, just put in DR. It works for both of those, work for the Dr. Artist Show, which is awesome. All right. And then we've got GraithCare.com. Use the promo code ARDIS, A-R-D-I-S. If you or a loved one are in a hospital or you or a loved one want help with advocacy work to actually assist you on living a drug-free life as much as possible, GraithCare.com, G-R-A-I-T-H-C-A-R-E.com. And if you haven't figured it out yet, Priscilla Romans, who created that company, she combined her two daughters' names to name the company. Grace and Faith is GraithCare.com. They're phenomenal. They now actually have, Mel, you may not even know this, but they now have advocacy teams internationally in Australia, Canada, in Europe. It has just exploded, and we couldn't be more proud to have them help us save lives around the world for the last several years. So anyway, those are the sponsors. We're out of the way here. Mel K, tell the audience, in case they haven't caught on all of our other interviews in the past, go ahead and tell them who you are, why you are who you are. She comes from a background of Hollywood. She's also from New York, so she's got a lot of upsets and things that she's learned over the years, and has been warning and inspiring people to actually take a stand for their own freedoms in this life that she knows behind the scenes are being destroyed intentionally. All right, Mel K, give them a background. I want to learn more about you and your life. Where'd you grow up?
Oh,
what made you go to Hollywood? Wow. What made you leave Hollywood? Give us an update on all that stuff. We want to know.
Wow, that's a lot. Well, basically, I grew up really at a very patriotic family. You know, my dad, my whole life, I swear, I feel like Rush Limbaugh was on all the time. My dad's always telling me about news. I was the youngest of three. My older sisters are a doctor and a lawyer. I decided I wanted to be a filmmaker from a very young age. We were like, my dad was real techie too. So we were the first people to have a Betamax. And I thought it was so cool. And I loved filmmaking. And somehow Annie Hall was my favorite movie well before I understood, I could have possibly understood what it was about. So I always had the intention of going to New York and going to film school. So I ended up doing that at NYU. First, my parents told me I had to get a real degree. So I got a degree in something that is no longer a real thing, journalism. And I worked in journalism for quite a while. Then I went back and got my film degree at NYU as well. And that is how I started, very, very young in the film business. First was in TV. I worked at Good Morning America. I worked at CNN, MTV News. Then I jumped over to film, Tribeca Films, a bunch of different movies, started making my own movies, ended up in Hollywood very, very young, early on in my career. And
how old are you?
22.
And so, at the time when you were 22, was it super exciting to be in Hollywood? Did you feel like you were on your way in your career, everything you've been working for, studying for?
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, first of all, the thing about that time period, it was like I first went to film festivals in 97, 98. I moved to L.A. Around a little bit after that, 99, 2000. I was like living there, working there. But there was it was a very different time. Something happened in Hollywood in the mid-2000s, which also predated but was similar to BLM, LGBTQ plus, all of this stuff. There was a big shift in the middle of about 2003, 2004, where Hollywood became very obviously about creating a narrative that was very woke, that was very exclusionary to most people, where when I started out, talent, you know, if you went to the film festivals, it wasn't about fame. It was about great work. You need the stars weren't there yet. It wasn't that. It was really about independent filmmaking and all of that. I was lucky to catch that on the tail end. But I think that there was a melding of everything in the mid-2000s. I think 2000 and on, and that included Hollywood. It included finance. It included multinational corporations, Chinese Communist Party. Hollywood just became part of the what I call the global multinational public-private partnership. And when I look back, I see what happened. But at the time, it was very strange. You started to realize that talent didn't matter as much anymore, and people were being hired right out of these weird programs that were like geared towards minorities or towards LGBTQ. And people were thinking, what is going on here? It was also at the time when digital became big. When I graduated from film school, we still shot on 35 or 16, edited on Avid. Suddenly everything became digital. So it was also a big shift in the industry. I watched what happened in Hollywood. And I'm telling you, what happened there is now spread out through the whole country over the last 10 years. And by the time I left, I was lucky. I had a good mentor in New York, really begged me not to go to LA, said it was like all predators and that I was too insecure and they were going to eat me alive. And I was like, one in a million, of course, I'm going to be the one. And there was a lot of success and failure. But I did get to a very high level there to see enough to know that it's not separate from anything else that we're dealing with. When I talk about, we talk about the Great Reset or the Net Davos crew or all of that, they're all there. And how I started my show is I became, my family was in Palm Beach and I was between New York and LA. I became very familiar with Jeffrey Epstein very young, around 2000 and very early and really? In the first case. Yes, I knew a couple of the girls involved in the first case in Palm Beach. So I had known about that. I actually had
What year might that have been? I'm only recently familiar with this guy in the last like 3 years. So
2007, I knew about what happened in Palm Beach because every time I'm a screenwriter, so every time I would not be working on a show or would fail to rewrite something again, I'd go back to my parents in Palm Beach, and I had a place there, and I would write something. So I needed to like isolate and write, and I would often work on the island. So I knew a lot of the girls that were involved in that, one of the big girls that was involved in the 2008 case. So I was very aware of him. But honestly, I had first interacted with him when I was 19 years old at NYU, because I was working at House of Style with a lot of models. And I knew about these model apartments all over Manhattan. And they had four or five, sometimes eight girls living in them, most of them foreign, didn't speak English. And you kind of knew that they were never going to be models. I was working with Cindy Crawford and, you know, Christy Turlington. I'm looking, I'm thinking, where are these girls from? And later I would learn that Jeffrey Epstein owned those buildings and also most of those girls. And so I knew a little bit about that. And then so then I started kind of digging into it. And then when I was in LA on my last job before I left LA, I encountered him again. And I thought, oh my God, this guy's still around. And so I started doing shows about what I saw happening to young girls and young boys in Hollywood when I was still there, especially underage young boys and girls. It was becoming very normalized in my later years in Hollywood to have young kids without parents at parties in the hills at late at night. And people were acting like it was normal, or you'd go to an award show or an event and you'd know like, something was off. And there was actually an article written by Mike Ovitz, and he got a lot of flack for it. And he said that the gay mafia had taken over Hollywood. And what I saw was not necessarily that, but what I saw was that something very predatory had taken over out there. And I watched this happen. That guy was part of it, but a lot of other people were. And I just started talking about it and saying that they are trying to sexualize our children. There is a pedophile agenda in Hollywood. It is on steroids. I know a lot of people who were abused, who did not make it out. A lot of my friends were people that you know of, and you've heard their names, that were in and out of rehab. And it wasn't, it just became a really, really ugly place. And so from there, I got on, people had me on their shows talking about that. And then COVID came and I started my own show. And now I have the Mel Kay Show, and I talk to great people like you. And I still keep in mind what's happening to our children, and that it's very purposeful and it's much bigger than we think. So, you know, that's really been what I focused on for many years.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. So I don't know anybody else that even has ever crossed paths with Jeffrey Epstein personally. Like, that's just odd to me. I'm very intrigued. And I think most of the world's intrigued about how a guy could literally fly all over the world, own properties all over the world, hold parties all over the world, engage with people in public all over the world, and not get busted for decades. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. So in your probably limited experience with him, what was was he very charismatic, just a normal dude? You would have never guessed it. Or was it the people around him or things he would say that was just weird or made things off? Or was it the entire environment of where you were seeing him at?
It was the whole environment. I encountered him young because at that time I was a teenager in my late teens in New York City. A lot of my friends were models, actresses, filmmakers. I went to NYU, so that was a lot of things did that. I encountered him only in person once there. He was very charismatic. He's like you'd expect the devil to be, you know, and people flocked around him. But I knew all these young girls, and a good friend of mine, I think got caught up in that. I lost touch with her, but I kind of knew what was going on, but not on the sense that I mean, I knew these girls thought that they were going to be models, a lot of the ones that surrounded him and his friends, but I knew that they weren't going to be because that's not how it worked. And so that was really my first encounter, but it really was the whole environment. I know a lot of men that were very good friends with him. I worked with people, I've dated people that I know went to Epstein Island. So for me, it's very, and that's much later. That's when I was in LA, but but he was very charismatic. I encountered him again when I was in Palm Beach working in 2006, 2007. And I know one of the girls to this day who was a victim then, she was 17 years old at the time. And, you know, they're very, you know, it's that's the way that that world worked. And I knew about it. But that what I can say about the two times that I was close enough to see how he is, he's exactly what you'd expect, you know, when they profile a serial killer like a Ted Bundy, like very charismatic, but very standoffish. Everyone treated him like royalty. And that's what you'd expect in that situation. He had so much. But I did also know a couple of the cops in Palm Beach that were involved in the first case. And I knew that he was a high, high level blackmailer, and that all of his properties, New York, definitely Palm Beach, the island, New Mexico, that they were all wired up for blackmail. And some of the things that he was doing was he was blackmailing judges, he was blackmailing Congress people, he was blackmailing celebrities. Maxwell was 110% his right-hand man. And honestly, I really think that it was Maxwell's father who was the original blackmailer. And I think a lot of people knew that. People were scared of this guy. And as you know, from your part, he connects to everything. A lot of those guys involved in the Human Genome Project in the MIT Media Lab were being funded by him, but they were also partying with him in Palm Beach and on the island and in New York. I mean, this guy was, I think, had something on everyone. So, you know, that's just where we are. And then, of course, when they take him out, you wonder, like, but all these guys, so that she's in jail for trafficking. And don't forget, I don't know if you know this, but the first case, his charge was, I believe, soliciting sex from an underage prostitute. And there's no such thing as an underage prostitute. Jeez. But that was one. And then when he got out, that's when his relationships that we talk about now, like Epstein, I mean, with Bill Gates and with all the MIT guys and Harvard guys and the guy from Apollo Group and his main guy that even back when I knew him, when he was doing the early Victoria's Secret stuff, Les Wexner. I mean, these people are very, very powerful people, very connected. They say he was working for the Mossad, CIA, Russian intelligence. I think he was working for whoever gave him the most money, but, you know, it's my opinion that if we do ever get to the bottom of the Epstein case, get the information, find out who he had blackmailed, the guy that I know in Palm Beach that worked for the police department there said that they had thousands and thousands of hours of blackmail footage that they had seized from him. I've talked to that guy still. He's like been in hiding for a few years. Sure. But I'll tell you, like that case unlocks so much of what we've seen, including the COVID. He was involved in literally everything. He created the Clinton Foundation. He traveled with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was on that island for sure 27 times. I hear hundreds, but whatever the case may be, it was in New Mexico, New York, Palm Beach with him. And Bill Clinton to this day, this is how we know we're in real danger. Bill Clinton to this day has never been questioned by the NYPD, by the FBI, by the Palm Beach police, by the anyone. About Epstein Island or Epstein. So it goes all the way to Clinton's.
Yet they raided Donald Trump's home looking for some paperwork that he might have taken. Come on, man. Seriously. When are we going to actually? I mean, I don't know. We could go on for days about who and when would it be possible somebody's going to hold people accountable. But it does appear they have become the masters of blackmail in order to get away with as much as they have. And it must include judges, it must include police chiefs, it must include attorneys, it must include politicians all over the world. It's phenomenal and disgusting how deep, I'll just reference it, even though I don't usually, how deep that swamp goes. It's pretty obviously disgusting. And for you to be able to see that world and be a part of that, or at least be introduced to that, I'm shocked and excited that you saw it and then decided to expose it or run from it. Either one.
Yeah. I both. I ran from it. There was a point where there was an agency in LA. They built a new headquarters. And I'm telling you, anyone that is like on the right side of reality and is honest and is a God-fearing person knows that when that agency put up what I call their Death Star in the middle of Hollywood, everything changed. There was a big, and the other thing a lot of people have to know about that world is it is predator prey. Everything you see is pretty much fake. And you know, a lot of people there are compromised and blackmailed. It's not new. But, you know, it's funny, Dr. Artis, I call you Dr. Artis, but I really call you Brian, but it's your show, so I call you Dr.
You can call me whatever you like.
I do want to say, the more that I look at all this stuff and look backwards, because, you know, I started in covering the Epstein case. That was really how I started my show. And then it just grew and grew because Epstein's connected to everything, literally. All those law firms, all of it, he's connected to everything. Bear Stearns, the collapse in 2000, like so much. But the thing that I really realized is I think that this has been such a long game that even the blackmail and bribery and everything that happened with Epstein, how he got people trapped, I think it's been going on since the beginning. And I think like where we are now in America, I keep saying to people, we need an Americans Anonymous program. And we have to start like a 12-step program for Americans that would like their country back. And you got to start with first step being like, we have a problem. Second step being, I am the problem. Third step being like, only a power greater than myself. And this can help me. But there's like a fourth step in recovery, which is like a moral and fearless inventory I talk about a lot. And I really think Epstein is just a piece of a giant puzzle that started with the murder of JFK. Honestly, it started before, but what I now look back and I look at the certain data points, and I really think that once that murder happened and the people were able to cover it up and get away with it, and you know, I also believe you've had Kathy O'Brien on, and we've talked many times about MK Ultra, but I think that that was also some kind of trauma event to turn the nation into a bunch of very suggestible, easily manipulated people, easily deceived people. And I really do believe that there was, once they got away with that, because it said to me, I've done a lot of work on this, that everyone in the FBI and Pentagon and CIA knew that the story that came out, the Warren Commission, all of that was a lie. And so, but they covered it up. And I'm a big fan. I played a clip of it in my movie, but in my speech. Yes, but there's Fletcher Prouty and Jim Garrison are the only two people that tried to put the truth out. And Prouty, who was in Black Ops, he came out. He said, this is what happened. But he said about JFK, he said, the things you have to ask yourself is, why did they kill him? Who benefited? And then the thing that he said that strikes me even to this day is, who benefited from the cover-up? Because once you start covering up stuff, then it can never be revealed. So then I think everything since then, like I've been saying, there's just been cover-up after cover-up after cover-up. And we talked about this when you were on my show with Kathy, this reasons of national security has become a way that our government, when they do criminal activity to us or to a foreign nation, they cover it up with a reasons of national security that really should not be used in that case. It shouldn't be used. We should be using our government officials should be held to a higher standard of truth really? And transparency. But because I really believe that once they manipulate it, a lot of people don't know, 2 days after they killed JFK, which he was not going to go into Vietnam, at least not in any way that we did, Johnson signed the order to send us into Vietnam. And a lot of similarities between all of these wars and the banking and the war military industrial complex and the bankers, like that graph I put on the wall. And I just think the American people have to really just start to really be honest if we're going to save this country, that, you know, all because America did it doesn't mean it's okay. And we have to really know the truth and transparency of all these things in order to move forward. Or I think that that's really where we should be focusing, is on getting out the truth, no matter how ugly, and saying not in our name and not with our money, because that's where we are right now. We have a lot of people that are very compromised, that have been compromised and blackmailed and cover-ups for decades. And if you start pulling that house of cards down, the whole thing falls and maybe we can get our country back.
Yeah, I think these are all great points. And JFK, I think, is a big deal, actually. And for me, looking at history, when people talk currently, like who's going to hold Anthony Fauci responsible for lying about Remdesivir? Who's going to hold Pfizer, Moderna, the governments around the world responsible for the injuries of the COVID-19 vaccines? You know what my very first thought is? We haven't even been able to hold accountable who actually really killed JFK. And they right. killed him on TV, live, in front of a crowd, and they still covered it up. And we're, what, 60 years later almost? It's still covered yeah. up, and no one's been held accountable. So
right.
at what point do we actually accept the fact that really truth is going to come out? And for me, it is, if, as long as I can keep you healthy and alive and they can't kill you, at least there's some hope for me that there's enough people to be able to resist, stand, and project truth or a warning about truth or conspiracy as the governments and evildoers of the world continue to do that. Now, yep. we're going to take a break here and come back for the next 22-minute segment. We'll be right back with Mel Cape. All right.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
Assassination. Let's throw out a one or two sentence highlight of how that would have actually pushed us towards the Great Reset. That massive in-your-face media event to create mass trauma.
Right.
How, right. Let's talk about JFK. Then let's talk about 9/11. Let's talk about 2008. Like, what did they do to help us get there? Like, for example, 9/11, right. Patriot Act. Give us a few hints of what in the world did that do to allow Congress to sign in something that then would help push the narrative of their agenda for the Great Reset. So let's start with JFK's assassination. A couple things. You talked about Lyndon Johnson pushing in order to go into Vietnam, but how does that help with the Great Reset?
That helped with the Great Reset because what we have to understand, and this is horrible for any veterans, anyone who died in war, I will say that Smedley Butler said it a long time ago, but and Eisenhower warned about it on his exit from office. The military-industrial complex and the international banking cartel are one and the same. So every war is really won by the bankers that rebuild that country, which is already happening in Ukraine. I hope people understand BlackRock, Chase, and the CCP already have contracts rebuilding Ukraine. So, and they did before. He announced in 2009, Zelensky, at the World Economic Forum, that they were going to be on the forefront of the fourth industrial revolution and the central bank digital currency. They were testing it out there. Ukraine is a total, it is the Great Reset. Ukraine is very much a part of that. But as for JFK, another thing that happened that people don't know that they should know is JFK had just signed something that made, so the military, I believe in the military industrial complex, the banking cartel, and the Rockefellers were all in cahoots back then. They needed the war in Vietnam, money, war, military industrial complex, all of that. But also at the same time, JFK wanted to destroy the CIA, which really came from the OSS, which was always clandestine. He knew about all the black ops all over the world, and the regime changed things. And he got, you know, what happened with Bay of Pigs. He had caught them, and Potemkin, all these things happened. So he put in this, it was called, I think they were directives, 55, 56, 57, that he was putting into law. And he was going up for re-election soon. And this law would have brought the CIA underneath the Joint Chiefs. And he would have then been the head of the CIA and ended all black ops. Awesome. Black ops is how the real money is made. So people should look that up. Directive 55, 56, 57, JFK destroying the CIA and putting it under the control of the commander in chief, him. And he would have. Yeah, and that was a big deal. So they needed the CIA and black ops to continue. They've turned into color revolutions, National Endowment for Democracy, USAID. These are all organizations, I think, that are organized crime, as far as I'm concerned. And also they needed the war. They needed the war financially. They needed the war.
So can you explain how does bankers actually benefit off of war? Just a real quick, I can do it too, but I want you to do it. Tell the audience how bankers benefit from any war.
Right. Well, first of all, if you go back all the way to the French Revolution and you look at who financed both sides of every single war, you're going to find the same people. And the reason is because, first of all, in America, and this shouldn't be, and we should do something about this when we save our country, which is our military industrial complex is our biggest exporter, and it's our biggest financial institution. We also put billions of dollars of taxpayer money into those contracts that go to Raytheon and all these companies, Boeing, all of them. But what people might not know is that all of those military industrial complex companies are also traded on Wall Street. So you have to realize that our country, the US, I think, is the only country that our military industrial complex is also a business. And it's a very big business, A. B, the biggest way that they make money is contracting. So after a war, the contracts that get put out, like Halliburton, oh my God, you know, or Blackwater, or any of them, all these contracts. So it's contracts. The Clinton Global Initiative, Clinton Foundation did it all over the world, Haiti, everywhere they went, you know. So then their friends all got contracts, never-ending contracts. Joe Biden's brother was building, like, housing in Iraq. You know, all kinds of stuff. But what you look at, if you go and you look at any of these places that we've done color revolutions and overthrows, you're going to find that they not only didn't end up better off, but then the IMF, who is really at the top of the banking cartel under the BIS, they go into these countries after war. They came in here after the Civil War.
Pay attention. This is my favorite part of your speech, actually. And I was like, whoa, that is what they do. Holy crap. Yeah. You talked about this at the Miami event. I loved it.
What they do, the IMF, these, and the World Bank, I just pray in our lifetime, Brian, that we see them fall. But anyway, what they do is they go into countries that are destroyed by war that was usually regime change and all kind of lies put to the public and propaganda to even have us back these wars, which I'll get to in a second. But so they go in and they give loans to the country. So they've given a lot of loans already to Ukraine. But the problem is they know that that country can never pay back the loans, ever. So they go in and they give these loans to all over Africa, all over South America, everywhere that they've done a coup. Then the IMF shows up like they're going to save them. It's the Hegelian dialectic. You know, they cause the problem, you know, then they come in with the solution, and then people take the solution. They don't realize that the whole point was for them to take the solution. So what happens is when the IMF, when a country cannot pay back the IMF, the IMF then seizes their natural resources, ends up turning that country into a vassal, puts in a puppet government, usually takes over the banking system. The people turn into impoverished, you know, basically slaves. And you have that all over Africa and South America right now because of this kind of nonsense, but all over. And a big thing for people to realize, and this is why I'm talking about that moral fearless inventory that we, the people, have to take, because a lot of this stuff was done in our names, but we didn't know because the media, like AP and the legacy media, is so complicit in what's happened here, that they brainwash us by using our goodness, our emotions, our kindness, our compassion for these countries that seem to have, you know, despot rulers, and we're going into democracies to save human rights. And I'm telling you, I've gone through a lot of it. That's pretty much BS every time it happens. And the fraud of our lifetimes is the United Nations. And they say, okay, you can do that. You know, and then next thing you know it, that country is destroyed forever. And, you know, the bankers and billionaires and international globalists of the global public-private partnership are divvying up that land, and the people become slaves, if not in that country, then sold elsewhere like Libya. So, you know, and that's a big thing. And people have to understand, there's something I do ask everyone to go back and look at. 2000, this is why I think 2000 is a very key year. We're all caught up with the hanging chads and the Y2K. And Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Kagan, NATO Kagan, his wife is Nuland, who took over Ukraine in 2014, folks. Like, we've been controlling Ukraine since 2014, but put out a document. It's called the Project for a New American Century. This is the most disturbing document. And we, the people of the United States, if we knew about it, would never have agreed to it. But what I'm telling you and telling everyone right now, if you wonder about the military industrial complex and the banking cartel and how we got here and what is going on and why we had 23 years of war, because don't forget, I remember Ron Paul always saying, well, how can we have a war on a tactic? You know, the war on terror doesn't really state an enemy. And he was always like, it's a war on a tactic, because the war on terror was never about a war on terror. Because if you look at this document, Project New American Century 2000, it's on my website under resources. You're going to see that these guys, these billionaire banking cartel, military industrial complex, people, probably a lot of them involved in JFK's cover up and all of that. They decided that they were going to take over the entire world on our dime, with our taxpayer money, through war after war after war, and then basically usurp all those nations from the top down, which was part of the Great Reset One World Government plan. But a lot of people didn't know that. I believe that that was the military framework, the military playbook for that, and it's played out pretty much. And basically every country, I think a lot of people probably watching this know that Wesley Clark, years later, gave a speech, and he said that after 9/11, another PSYOP, I believe, in a lot of ways, for this one world government. After 9/11, Rumsfeld told Wesley Clark, here's the list of everywhere we're going into. And he was like, why are we going into Iraq? Why are we going into Libya? Why are we going to Syria? Why are we going to the... And it turns out, not only was that part of that Project for a New American Century, but it turns out that all of those nations were not going to go for the one world top-down government. They wanted out of the central bank cabal. It was at a time like Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein. These guys were looking for ways to get out of the petrodollar, to start their own banks, to stop dealing with American hegemony throughout the world. So there was a lot going on, and our country is very guilty of a lot of things that we didn't know about that were done in our name without our knowledge. And that's where I hope that people left of center, right of center, can at least meet in the middle on, let's clean up what happened here. Sure. And then we can deal with these current things that they're dividing us over, because once we deal with the actual people that have kept us in this constant state of conflict and chaos, so we never see what they've done to our nation and the world in our name, I really think that's the only way forward, is for us to all agree that we got to clean that up as a team, Team America, and then we can deal with, you know, all the other stuff.
Well, I just looked it up. I like doing this for the audiences. I like learning as we go, right? So I just looked Project for the New American Century. It says here that it was dissolved in 2006. So it was 6 years they were engaging on this project. Is that true? Like, they were taking out actions, and it's still going. They just lied to us and say it's dissolved.
Project of the New American Century was a think tank that was run by those guys. The document that they put out in 2000 through that think tank is, I believe, the military industrial complex, one world government, NATO / military takeover of the world by the Five Eyes nations, US and UK mainly. The Project for New American Century is the think tank. The document, I believe, is some kind of declaration of war, of the future of war. But it's all very much about, because in order for them to have the true Great Reset that they want, that they all came up with, that they planned out, you know, back when they planned the UN, meant that they had to have a one world military, a one world bank, a one world governance. They call it global governance now. It's just the new name. Same concept. But and that's why they created all these organizations. And as you've seen, which you documented as much as anyone could during COVID, was it was about consolidating power. And the World Health Organization was a very big part of it. And you know, these people are, they happen to be brilliant geniuses, but different people were working on different things, but they needed all of them to come together. And one of them is also one world religion, which is really just getting rid of religion in general.
Yep. And I've absolutely gravitated to the same viewpoint Kathy O'Brien has shared and articulated through her books and her testimonies. Thank you for the introduction to her. We have done many shows with her and interviews, but oh my goodness, ignorance on behalf of myself, having been raised in a very close-knit Mormon community and not allowed to look at things outside, get involved in organizations as much outside of the Mormon church. I mean, it was a very, very close-knit group and community. Oh my goodness, ignorance on what was going on in the real world for the last 5 decades is not always bliss. It's very daunting, very overwhelming, very anxiety creating, and can be, but it is extremely overwhelming. Mel K, we're going to have to wrap up this show just for time purposes for the Brideon group, but please let the audiences know what your view for the future is. Do you see a positive outlook for America, and what do you wish? And what would you like to proclaim to the audiences they need to do and you think would be a very easy, important thing they could apply in their life every day to start helping to chip away at this global takeover that's being attempted on all of us?
Yeah, we're really, I just really hope that everyone understands that America's in serious danger right now from within. And these people were placed here on purpose. They never went away. They've all been groomed to be here. A lot of them come from the Council of Foreign Relations. They come from the Poison Ivy League. They've been placed there. They've been groomed into this position. We're an oligarchy. That is what's running our country. And then there's that whole aristocracy, because then they, you know, it's hereditary. They bring them up, you know, about the Mormon church. We're talking about it on a global scale. Yep. And what you really need to do first and foremost is be honest with yourself if you really align with either party. What I say to people, this also comes from a little bit with me and Kathy, I've been talking about, take a pen to paper for 3 to 5 minutes and write down exactly how you feel about America, your life, where you are now, what you want for the future, for your kids and everything. And you'll realize you don't align with either party, because it's a lie. We are living in an illusion of choice. We, the people of the United States, need to realize this is the Bolshevik Revolution. This is Mao's China. We are being divided so that we do not fight back. We need to fight back united. United we stand, divided we fall. Stop playing games with semantics and woke BS. They are the minority. We are the majority. They are creating a false narrative so that we all pick sides that don't exist. The only side that can exist right now is Team America. Either you're for America or you're not. And also, just know that a lot of disclosure is coming. So that means that there's a lot of distraction coming. If you find that you are seeing something on TV or social media that is making you emotionally upset, and you're seeing footage or something played over and over, you are being propagandized. You have to know when you are being manipulated and propagandized, and look for the facts. And this has nothing to do with Donald Trump or anyone else or Joe Biden or anything else. This has to do with you, your personal sovereignty. Your individual liberty is what's at stake here. Your future and your decisions for your family and your future are being taken away from you if you do not stand up now. What I'm saying is, I believe that we have a center. We have a center right and a center left, probably 30% on each side, that really do agree on most things. Find where you agree with your neighbors. Start speaking up. Stop being afraid. I say start groups. Your best place to change things is in your state. We are not going to save DC. We do have power in our states. So please get involved. Don't tell me you're too tired, because you know what? A lot of people said they were too tired in Nazi Germany, and we know what happened there. We are in a situation where, you know, I say a lot on my show, Hannah Arendt said it wasn't the convinced communists or the avowed Nazis that were the problem in Nazi Germany. It was the apathetic Germans. And believe me, Germany still has not recovered psychologically, emotionally, financially. They do not stand up for themselves still. We do not want to be a broken country. We are in big, big trouble, but you have power in your community, in your neighborhood. Don't be too tired. Show up. Every single person that works for you, your entire local government works for you. You should have all of their websites tagged on your desktop and checking them out, like they work for you. Taking a couple hours a week, just see what they're doing. Show up. You see anything having to do with sustainable goals, ESG, Agenda 2030 in your local community or in your county, you go to the next meeting and you stand up and you tell them this is a globalist takeover of the United States and we are not going to stand for it. And be very aware, there are the border problem is now a problem in every neighborhood, in every county, in every locale. keep your eyes open, keep your head on a swivel. If you see bad activity, go to the local cops, you know, and all I can say is right now we have a choice. Either united we stand, divided we fall. This is when it was made for, 2023. I have on the MelKayShow.com website, I have a resource page. That document I'm talking about is there. So are a lot of playbooks that they've used in the past. The Democrat Socialists of America, which are running the Democratic Party. And people should know that the Nazi Party was really the working socialist Nazi, working National Workers Socialist Party was the Nazis. And they are the exact same thing. The Democratic Party does not exist. The Republican Party is not on our side. We, the people of the United States, need to stand individual. Our sovereignty is more important. And more than that, if you're too tired now, you're not going to be able to be tired later when you know, they're taking us to FEMA camps. And their plan is a one-party United States. And after there's a one-party United States, freedom in this country is over. So we have a chance, but you can't sit on the sidelines. There is nobody coming to save us. There is no big grand scheme plan. Trump's not coming to save us. He needs to save himself, and we all need to save ourselves and our families. So my best advice is... your local community is where you have power, and use it.
All right. So maybe we can all unite together in one viewpoint, right? There's got to be things in common that we all agree on. Yeah. Why it is we love this country. Give one reason why you love this country.
Well, I love this country for the biggest reason is because I believe that there's more opportunity here. If you put your mind to anything, you can achieve anything in this country. And every time that they say that that's not true, it's an insult to anyone that would like to do that. I think the opportunity here, I also think that we have so many places all over this nation. I've been in 23 states. I drive a lot. There are abandoned towns and communities all over. There's so much we can do with this nation. You know, MAGA really was Trump's, they've turned it into something else, but Make America Great Again was really Trump's economic plan to reinvest in our local communities, to reinvest in our local farming, our local manufacturing, our local everything. We have all this ability to do that. So for me, I think it's really the taking back ingenuity, taking back investment in our local communities. Go do whatever you dreamed of doing all these years. People wait, like waiting for what and putting away money. Go do it now. Now's the time to put your money into doing whatever you dreamed of and building it. And in America, you can actually do that.
I agree. Mel K, you rock. Give me your website again. I actually would recommend you all go there. There's one document. Tell them where to find it that lays out all the people that are running the world and responsible for this attempted global reset.
Yeah, and go find that, because it's important that you understand that. And you can send me emails, too, and I can explain it. I have lots of videos on it. It is themelkayshow.com. Please go to the resources page. That document I'm talking about the wars, the endless war plan is on there. Lots of other stuff. But what I call the global public-private partnership, top-down, Bank of International Settlements, all the way down to We the People, shows you what's happening now and who the enemy is, because it isn't us, and it isn't your neighbor, and it isn't your friend, and it isn't a Democrat, and it isn't a socialist. It really is a globalist cabal that would like all of us to be on equal levels and equally unhappy, and we're not going to let that happen. So themelkayshow.com, and my videos are all over the web. My main hub is Rumble, but I am also now on Brighteon. And a bunch of other places. So check out my shows. And Dr. Artist, now you owe me a show.
Yes, I do. Let's do it. I cannot wait. this is going to be a lot of fun. So I really do want the world to know, and the audience watching at home, that I need to learn from people, because I gravitate to the things I love that I've learned, inspired me throughout my lifetime. And that usually revolves around health. But that's not the only thing that is screwed up in this world right now. So Mel K, to me, you're a leader. You're a hero for me. So I want people to follow you. I have to learn from you. Thank you for all you've done. And I was blown away by the presentation there in Miami. So I want to make sure people here can see those resources. I was sitting there taking screenshots so I could actually go back and reference, and we'll be on your site as well. But please do go to themelkayshow.com and please follow her. Go to the resources page. She's got a ton of info. Way before I was awake to what was going on for this great reset, I just knew there was a problem 3.5 years ago. When a man named Dr. Anthony Fauci lied to the whole world when he said there was a drug proven safe and effective against Ebola and against COVID. And all I did was read the studies to find out he lied about both of them. And then I had to tell the world, and what a world of lies I have been exposed to ever since. Mel K, you rock. Tell them where they can find you maybe later. You got any other places you're speaking outside of Las Vegas, maybe at the next Reawaken Tour?
Oh, yeah, I am. I am. I'm speaking all over the place. There's a on the MelKayShow.com, there's an events page. I'll be in Branson. I'll be in the Villages. And I love going to the retirement communities. That's my awesome. Favorite crowd. I will be in Nashville. I will be in Pennsylvania. So go to the MelKayShow.com events page. I love meeting people. I'm doing some small events, too. I'm going to try to make Dr. Artis show up somewhere with me soon because I miss you. And then also, yeah, I want everyone to stay positive, but please take back your power. You've been told you're powerless. They're demoralizing, dehumanizing, separating us on purpose. You can reject that. Once you know that you're being manipulated, it doesn't work anymore. And join the team. You know, you send me an email. Let me know if I can help you. There's lots of opportunity to get involved out there. Find what you are passionate about. And start a show like Dr. Artis and I. We didn't know anyone would watch us, and look at us. You're watching us.
Yeah, now we got three fans. It's amazing. We had no idea we'd be so popular.
Well, thank you so much. And please keep the faith. God, I still believe God's got our back here and God wins, but you know, he really needs us to be fighting on the front lines. Thank you.
And just like Nancy Reagan and Dr. Artis say, just say no to drugs. Mel K says, just like I do, say no to the Great Reset. All right. Right. God bless everybody. Mel K, you rock. Good luck on your travels and your speaking engagements. And maybe I can show up at one of these retirement home villages. That would be very exciting. It'll be very exciting. All right. God bless you. And thank you again. I'm Dr. Artis. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.